Grace, Lord, we ask tonight that we who are here, we understand your word tonight as thoughts. There's no distraction, there's no distraction of any kind. There's focus, there's comprehension. Your name is exalted. You Jesus are glorified, and we are edified tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. It's good to see you. Praise God. Yeah, we're in Bible study. You know, and we just hear God's word and go straight into what we have for tonight. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What are we talking about? We are on the series, you know, demystifying the myth called unanswered prayers. And, you know, if you have been there from the beginning, you'd realize that we've gone quite a long way so far. Even though we still have a lot to cover, we have a lot to cover, really. Still on, because there's a lot of concepts, a lot of areas to address. Last week, you addressed the area of God answering prayers in, you know, we said, from the foundation in James 1 verse 5. Let's look at that. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the giving God that is single-minded about giving and finds no fault. So we said that God finds no fault in answering our prayers. God always is a giver. He's single-minded about giving. So God doesn't have other makeups. He doesn't have second options for us. He doesn't have a plan B. He doesn't have a better option, so to say, in quotes, better option. God gives as we ask. He's single-minded about. He's a giver. God does not give us modified answers to our prayers. He doesn't say, oh, maybe I'll give you something different. Maybe, oh, God says yes, God says no. God gives us when we ask of him. Hallelujah. Because he's single-minded about what? About giving. Right? We said also that, he said, let him ask in faith. We'll get back to that. But before then, we said that God is only a good God, right? James 1, verse 18. Verse 17, sorry, says every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we said God is a good God. 1 John 1 verse 5 says he's light and in him is no darkness. Jesus established that, you know, God is only good and he cannot do evil, right? Multiple times, Luke chapter 9, as we'll see tonight's teaching, Luke 9, 51 to 55, Jesus says, don't you know the manner of spirit you have? For the Son of Man is not come to destroy, but to save lives. So Jesus said, you know, pray for your enemies and those that persecute you, you know, so that you might be the children of your Father. So God is a good God. So if God is a good God and God can only do good things, then we asked the question. We said, how about those prayers when we pray for people to die, or where in the Old Testament we have things like Sodom and Gomorrah? Was it God that answered the prayer of somebody, or where you go to prayers like prayers concerning the wars in Israel, how they conquered kingdoms in the name of Yahweh, in the name of Jehovah, how they conquered kingdoms, God gave them victory. Was it God answering their prayers? Or when they say, God, I want you to give us, you know, and then Moses writes, and God gave them, and God said, I have delivered up this land, this kingdom to your hands. Do not be afraid. Joshua will say, be of good courage and fear not, because God is with you. David will say, you teach my hands to war. You teach my hands to know how to war, how to hold the bow and the arrow and all of that. So is it God that answered their prayers? Because God also doesn't find fault. We said, if God so much as says, you don't have faith, God has already found fault, right? If God says you don't have faith, he has found fault. So that means that even faith cannot be an issue before God. So we established anyways that, you know, God related with man only by what man said about him. So God allows man to be in authority. Psalm 115 verse 16, that it says the heavens and the heavens belongs to the Lord, and the earth he has given unto the children of men. Sorry. the earth he has given unto the children of men, right? So we said that everything that happens here on earth, right, is from man's authority. Even God relies on what man says about him. Psalm 115 verse 16. For God relies on what man says about him for him to establish what is called the word of God. Even Jesus Christ didn't come to change what Moses said. Jesus came to submit to what Moses said about God. So you see, God's word is actually what men said. And then you see, as men progressed, God submitted to what they progressed in knowledge about him. But Jesus comes to give us the clear revelation. However, Jesus himself, who is God, submitted to the scriptures. He expounded to them the things, Luke 24 verse 25 to 27, he expounded to them the things concerning himself. Jesus had to submit himself to what they said about him. So when you have those people ask God for victory and God gave them victory, it had to do with man's authority still here on earth. So God has never changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we said in James 1 verse 5 that God does not find fault in giving. So there's the thing called unanswered prayers is actually not what the scriptures teaches, right? It's not what the scriptures teach. There's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. God answers all prayers. Praise Jesus. 1 John 5, where it says, verse 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have. We ask in whatever we ask in his name, we know that we shall receive if we ask anything according to his will. So we said, we explained that scripture that according to his will, there is not in the asking, but it's in his hearing. So that it is in his hearing that it is to give us what we ask for. So God is a giver. Not that we ask and then if it is his will, he will give us. No. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So let's just move on from there. Look a bit little more into this. So it says in James 1 verse 5, it says, verse 6, then says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven and driven with the wind and tossed. So we said, where it says nothing wavering, or let him ask in faith. What is he saying? Is he saying have faith so that God can give you? No, he's actually saying ask with the conviction that God is a giver, right? God is a giver. God is a giver. For let not that man think, verse 7, that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, what he says in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Is he speaking of his belief system or is he speaking of his conduct? Clearly, he's not speaking of his belief system. Sorry, he's not speaking of his conduct. He's rather speaking of his what belief system. So, where he says a double-minded man is someone that has an unstable, an uncertain position in his mind about how God gives. So when you feel, oh, would God give me, would God not give me, that's an unstable mind. So it's not that God, an unstable mind is someone that, you know, is just unstable in all his ways. He does not receive anything from God. No, he's actually just saying an unstable man or a double-minded man is someone that has a wrong belief system, that doesn't ask with the conviction that God does not find fault when we ask from him, right? God does not look at, oh, are you prepared for this position? You know, sometimes God might deny you certain positions because your position might not be up to you know, something like that. You know, God doesn't find all of that. He doesn't have those degrees of freedom and say, you can only receive to this certain level. God is not like that. Oh, you're too small to ride that car. God, you're too small to receive this breakthrough. No, God wants to put you through some tests so that when you come out tested and tried and true, he will be like gold, tried by the fire. Just like the Bible says, the Bible looks at people and says, by faith. Look at Bill Gates. Bill Gates suffered. He was a dropout in school. And then from there, through trials and tribulations, today Bill Gates is the voice of the whole earth. That is how we get into confusion when we do not simply understand the scriptures, right? God doesn't find that. He said, there's no such thing as a trial for God to do something for you. Hallelujah. But we are not going into that right now. God will give us exactly what. So, you know, there are people that are not yet born. They already have properties. They are not yet born. You don't have to be qualified, so as to say, because that term qualified is even subjective. for you to have anything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Just like people say, there's some things that God gives and there's some things that God does not give. Like, when I mean things, I mean, I'm talking about material things, materialistic things. Like, oh, God, you know, God, I want God's blessing to come from God. I want that money to come from God. No, Satan can give money. That's not true. Or where we have these feasts, where we celebrate things, you know, we say, you know, this is from the Muslim community. You cannot eat that salamit. You can't eat it. I would say the earth is the Lord's. But anyways, that's just something we are going to much later. So the earth is the Lord. That's Psalms 24 verse 1 and 1 Corinthians 10, 24 and 26. That's Paul reiterates. Paul quotes it. We said Psalms 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. There is nothing new that is on the earth. We said that all our answers to prayers don't come from heaven. They come from where? The earth. They come from man's activities, humanly activity. So there is nothing that you're looking for that will be found from anywhere. There's nothing that God will create new again. The new creation has been the only new creation. And that new creation was even set up even before the foundation of the world. So actually, there is no new, there's nothing new. All the answers that we need are already on earth. They are available. Hallelujah. They are available. What do I mean by that? You know, in God's creation, God has set up the nature. God has set up every single thing. He has set up the natural things, right? The natural things, both the natural things that we can see and the spiritual things that we can't see, the angelic beings, right? God has set all of this in place even before man was created. So everything that man would ever need is in those creations, or they all lie in this creation of God. So there's nothing new that man would want that is not on the earth. There's absolutely not. Everything comes from a man. Either from your fellow man, right? Or something that already exists as a creation of God. So there's nothing that comes from the sky, nothing that comes from the planet, another planet somewhere. It's all here on earth. But you see, God lets us see in his creation that he is a giving God. Hallelujah. We saw in the case of Lot that God wanted to not that God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but actually God wanted to save Sodom and Gomorrah. So he allowed Abraham to exercise that authority. God needed Abraham's prayer to stop the destruction in Sodom and Gomorrah. We looked at that. Now let's see Luke 9 verse 51. Luke 9 verse 51. Let's see that. Luke 9 verse 51. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Right. So this is Jesus going towards Samaria. Right, in 51, look at it. It says, and it came to pass that when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem, and he set messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Now when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, without a command that wilt thou that we command fire, you know, to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? So they're quoting Elijah. They're referring to the scriptures, right? But Jesus replied, but in verse 55, says, but he turned and rebuked them and said, know ye not what manner of spirit you are of? So we see that Elijah exercised authority and fire came down. And then we see Jesus say, no, that is actually wrong. It shouldn't be done. Why? Because we are not of that spirit. Who are we? Children of God, the sons of God, the disciples of Christ. So Jesus actually shows us how we ought to do things. Jesus didn't say, don't you know the manner of spirit that I am meant to have at this time? You know, some people often say that Jesus Christ said that because his mission was to save. So he didn't want to harm anyone then. He was just putting a short-term character. You know, and are putting up a sort of self-control. he didn't want to show himself. He was using the merciful part of him. the merciful part of him. So you can imagine, you know, people actually, we have actually made God look like mercy is some minute part of him. Some little aspect that is reserved inside of God. Is that part of God that is sin. But you see, that is a problem with the kind of God, because the scriptures tell us that he's full of mercy. He even says he's slow to anger. He's slow to wrath. And we said that that word slow does not mean that God would eventually get there. It's actually what that means, that he can never get there. It's the same principle that James applied when he said, be slow to anger, slow to wrath. It doesn't mean that you should eventually exercise wrath. No, it means do not get there. That is, do not have, it's like someone that has a low IQ, a low intelligence quotient for doing something. Oh, I'm so slow to understanding math. Or I'm so slow to, I'm really slow about this whole, I don't know how to insult people. I'm really slow to that. It means that you will never get there. It's so hard for you to comprehend the concept of doing that. So that's exactly how God is. God is slow to anger and slow to wrath. Right, so that Jesus didn't say, oh, you don't know the manner of spirit that I am having now, don't you know the manner of spirit that I'm possessing right now, this little time where I have to suffer, so then later we'll have to take over, we'll have to bring them down, we must take them down, we must bring them down. I thank God that even after the resurrection, they asked Jesus, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel, when would you bring down the Roman government? Jesus said, it's not for you. Hallelujah. But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So Jesus' business was never about bringing anybody down. He said, don't you know the manner of spirit that you are of? So that is an eternal thing that God possesses, that the children of God ought to have. That means God's spirit is actually not a destructive spirit. So First John says, the word of truth which we have handled, we have seen him, referring to the man in the four gospels. That means you cannot know Christ or God outside the four gospels. That gospel, that Jesus Christ that we know, is a God in the four gospels. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So we see that Jesus Christ did not exact that. So our words can come to pass. It means that Jesus Christ could have called down fire. It was possible. Fire could have come down from heaven and destroyed them. It was possible, but Jesus says, do you not know the manner of spirit? So what you know in prayer matters how you receive. Now, this is not about having revelation of how much faith. No. I'm talking about your mindset about prayers will determine how you receive, in the sense that, you know, because you believe, for instance, that God might be using some evil circumstance to teach you a lesson, for instance, like sickness, you might not really be able to receive your healing. Why? Because you think that God's answers to prayer sometimes can be sickness, just to make you grow spiritually. You know, you say, I remember when I asked God to help me grow spiritually and now I'm sick. Well, that means God is using this. You begin to do math and mathematics, you know, begin to do plus and minus equation. You say, God is using this sickness to now teach me to have faith. Arema, you know, that's a problem. That means your mindset has affected you. You're now a double-minded man, right? So that's what I mean by that. Your mindset can affect. But if you know that God is single-minded about giving, and He's a good God, and nothing evil can come from Him, then you would be bold enough and be able to receive answers to your prayers always. Hallelujah! Praise the name of Jesus. Let's look at Daniel chapter 10. Look at Daniel 10 and verse 12. Daniel 10 and verse 12. Let's see Daniel and prayers and all of that. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 10. This is Daniel praying for deliverance from captivity of his people. So look at verse 12. Daniel praying for captivity and deliverance from captivity. Look at verse 12. Or let's just start from verse 7. Or just for context, let's see verse 1. In the year of the king Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Right? So had Daniel having a vision in his time of prayer. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, so he was fasting. Verse 4. And the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which was in Hiddekel. Then I lifted up my eyes and I looked, and behold, a a certain man clothed in linen, this is an angel, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ephraim. Verse 6, his body was like, he describes it and all of that. Verse 7, and I, Daniel, saw the vision, for men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled and hid themselves, fled to hide themselves. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone, and I saw a great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard, verse 9, the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face was the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set upon my knees and upon my palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for I am thee, for unto thee am I now sent. This is a messenger, an angel. And when he has spoken these words to me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard. I am come for thy words. So the angel came not for Daniel's fasting and prayers, not for Daniel's fasting or because he put himself in sackcloth and ashes. No, but the angel here says that I have come. Why? Because of your word. So Daniel was putting himself in prayers for a very long time, 21 days. And then at this time, the angel appears to him and then tells him, say, I have come because of what? Your words. He said, from the first day that you started speaking. He didn't say, oh, because you have fasted this long, huh? You have shaked and touched the heavens. No, he says, I have come because of your words. I came from the first. So there's no such thing as a delay in prayers. The moment you are asking, as you think of it and you speak it out, no, we said, you think and you speak, right? No mumbling around. We speak, right? So the first, as you speak, right, we have the answer immediately. Hallelujah. So there's no such thing like, God is setting you up for a miracle. No, there's no setup. There's nothing, there's no stage called setup. She says, we know we have the petitions that we desire. It is a, we know we shall go through the process of setup. There's nothing like that. People bring up doctrines based on their experiences. And any doctrine that is based on experience would only be correct to the extent to which it is subjected to this, the doctrine of scriptures itself. That means it doesn't matter what anyone says about their experience, claiming it's a doctrinal statement or a Christian doctrine, as long as it does not find its bearing or its teaching in the scriptures, therefore it is not a sound teaching, because the scriptures does not teach delay in prayers. As you ask, you receive. Praise God. It says that first day. Look at it. Says, I have come for your words. Then look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. It says in verse 13, but the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 120 days. You see that? 21 days, right? But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. So it means that Satan hindered him. The angel, the first time Daniel said what he said, he received the answer, the provision, the supply. But along the line, there was an obstruction. But you see, In this place, this is another angel now that's speaking to Daniel, because the second angel comes in and intervenes. But what happened? He says, with the king of Persia. Now, the king of Persia is not like spiritual beings in the sky. It's just men that Satan walks through here on the earth. I want us to note this, that there is no spirit or angel or demon that can walk on earth without a man. There is absolutely no spirit or angel or demon that can walk without a man. Someone might ask, then how about that place in the book of Mark where Jesus casts out a demon from a madman? Legion, where he says, I'm legion, we are many in him, and cast them out. And they ask that they cast them into the pigs, the swine, and Jesus commanded them to go there. Say, how about them? Didn't the demons indwell the pigs? Well, look at it. One way to interpret scripture is that you don't isolate it. You have to read the whole, you know, the Bible. The whole Bible is a holistic image. So if you isolate a text of the scripture, you are very liable to misinterpreting the scripture if it's not interpreted in the light of the entire scripture. So every scripture has to be explained in the agreement with what other scriptures say. So you find out that seems to be the only place in the entire Bible, right? But that does not mean that you now take it and say they were indwelling the pigs. No, the Bible doesn't tell us that. It just means that they went to where those pigs were and they drove them. It means they were hovering around that area and that was a disturbance on the animals. It doesn't mean that they indwelled the pigs. They simply influenced them because of their demonic presence and caused a disturbance amongst the swine or in the swine. And then they went into the water. Praise God. They are always moving, hovering everywhere. That is what demons need. They cannot sustain an animal. They can't do that. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we said that even a demon cannot do more than a man's intelligence. If a man is dull, the spirit will be dull. It will be limited by the intelligence of the person. The person is smart the same way. So the same Prince of Persia is the same way that Satan walked through men. But you see, because of Daniel's persistence in prayer, he prevailed. So when you see something that looks like, oh, it's, you have not yet seen what you're asking, you persist. Why? Because there are elements on the earth that is elements as men, oh, activities of men. You know, man has a will. For instance, you're praying for somebody to, someone, let's say someone, is obligated to do something for you and the person hasn't yet done it. It doesn't have to be only through ministry or in the context of ministry, but something random. And you know that the person is meant to do that. And then you pray. You know that person has a person, since he's man, and man has authority over everything on the earth, right? And we don't have authority over men, just every other thing apart from men. Since we know this, it means that a man can decide to accept or reject the prayer. What that means is that your prayer can only cause angelic activity to orchestrate things that would favor him to do that, either by reminder or by other circumstances that just keep driving him towards that. Maybe he wants to go somewhere and then something blocks him. And then that thing that blocks him makes him remember. Or maybe it's just this constant disturbance in his mind. It happens. Right? That's why sometimes when someone comes to mind to you, you don't just ignore. Sometimes the prayer of someone that is causing that to happen, God is bringing someone to mind. You are meant to go and reach out to that person, pray with the person. Even if you don't know what is going on, pray with the person. You will never be wrong with prayers. Someone said that I've been coming to mind so much. I had been coming to mind. And that period, I was very sick. I mean, very sick. Sick to the extent that the doctor said, it's a miracle that you are still walking. You're meant to be very, that is on the bed. You're meant to be on the bed. You understand? It was very a high level of something that happened to me. And the person reached out to me, said, I just felt like reaching out to you. And then said, oh, thank you so much. Well, the person prayed for strength. Said, I told you, I've been sick. You know, I've been sick. You understand? So that is how God works. But you see, the person has the idea, authority, the person has every right to just ignore. And that is exactly, but you see, prayers, persistence in prayers will then birth it out. Persistence in prayers. I remember someone had an issue, also an ailment here in our ministry. You know, person had an issue. And we prayed. I told them, I said, I know when we pray, we'll receive answers. So as I looked and I saw, I was not seeing what I was looking for. Person was really ill. I saw that I was not seeing what I was looking for. I told the person, I said, you know what? Give me this night. Give me tonight. I'll get back to you. Just tonight. Just give me this night. I went on the video and I prayed. I stayed with that matter. The next day, because the person at the point was not even responding again. Was not responding. I prayed. The next day, there was a difference. The person was able to eventually respond and all of that. you know, and then person went for their own test and all of that, and you know, miraculously things happened, and we thank God for deliverance and God's help for that person. Just trying to know the, you know, us, because the person is part of us. Hallelujah. I think one of them here is, the person knows here. So, but you see, God answers prayers. I think that's just one of the cases. Then you have another person of a similar case here. Go to that same person, just place that person in prayers. And then it happens, like God brings another person who would reach out to the other person that we could not reach to. And then the person responded and all of that. So, prayers as it involves God, there is nothing that blocks you and God. But then man, when it comes to man, you see, because the answers to prayers are on earth, man would now have to be influenced by God's power. And here we have Satan hindering the prayers of Daniel, but persistence in prayers prevailed over that circumstance. You know, persistence in prayers. Look at Luke 22, verse 52. This is Jesus. Luke 22, verse 52. Luke 22, verse 52. This is Jesus before they're about to arrest him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, be you come out as against a thief with sword and staves? When I was dealing with you, they came to him fully armed. That doesn't make sense. It's clearly a demonic influence. Why did you need that? He says, I was with you, I've always been there in the temple. Look at verse 53. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of what? Darkness. So it's a demonic influence that made them to come like that to Jesus. Including the beating received was demonic inspired. So the power of darkness works in men. That prince of Persia is talking about the people in authority there. They were stubborn to God's power. But see, Daniel's prayers prevailed by persistence. So the power of darkness was making use of human will. Look at, you know, Ephesians 2 will help us establish this. Ephesians 2, we explained this in our series, Heaven. What's that? I keep calling that thing Heaven. Ephesians 2, the New Creation? The New Creation? I think it's the New Creation. That's what we call this series. Yeah, the New Creation, yeah. Where we're talking about some things. We explain this. Ephesians 2 verse 2 says, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to what? The prince of the power of the air, right? The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So that evil spirit, those evil spirits, those prince of Persia, those power of the air, they walk in men. In men. Ephesians 6 18 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high. That was places. It's not in the original, or realms, it's not in the original, just in high. It means in the unseen, is the word Epiranos used for heaven, right? It means it's on earth here. Hallelujah. So those wrestle against flesh and blood is all about what? Men's authority. They are in men. Spiritual wickedness is on earth, in men. But you see, the influence is on sin. The influence is on sin. Paul and Silas were jailed, for instance. Obviously, they were jailed by the influence of a demon. You know what happened in Acts 6? That's Acts 16 down to verse 25. From 16 down to 25, where they saw the woman prophesying in quotes. See, these are the men of God. These are the men of God, XYZ. And then Paul was vexed in the spirit and then commanded the evil spirit to get out of her. He cast out the demon from her. And then the Bible says that, you know, a lot of people were astonished and all of that. And then, but some people were angry because their source of gain had been taken away from them. And as a result of that, they went to the man in authority and they jailed them. That is obviously a demonic. How can someone who had trouble be set free? And then what your response to that is what? To jail them. But you see, they had to jail them by a man's authority, someone's authority, because the hope of their gain was gone. All the man needed to do was just do what? Say, jail them. You see that? In 1 Corinthians, where it says, chapter 10, where it says, pulling down strongholds. Is it 1 or 2 Corinthians? Pulling down strongholds. Where, you know, and casting down imaginations and every high thing that comes against the knowledge of God. Where do those things exist? In the minds of men. In the minds of men. In the minds of men. So Paul and Silas were jailed because of what? A demon. And you know that believers too can be influenced by demons. You know, believers too can be influenced. That's why it's not about but it's a Christian. Oh, I'm born of God. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Absolutely. But a demon can influence a believer. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give any place to the devil. Means you can do that. Many places we see, resist the devil. Peter will tell us that. Whom you resist steadfast. Why do you have to resist him? Because you can be influenced by the devil. Anger, put away malice, wrath, and all of that. We know that these things are influences of the devil. Or rather, of a man that doesn't yield to God. And we know that Satan is not necessarily far from wrath. He is able to bring things to help wrath to take place. We know that Satan does not bring wrath. Wrath is in man, right? It's in man. Wrath is in man. We've established that sin is in man. It's not about the devil. Right? It's not about God. It's about man. But you see, Satan can help. Praise God. So, but that's why we must be knowledgeable about these things. All the influences of power of darkness exist in man's authority. Man's authority on earth is Satan's tool. Herod, for instance, when Jesus was born, when he heard, he said, oh, the king has been born. Now, let me show you how ridiculous this is. A king was born, right? How old was the king? I'm sure Herod himself wasn't 10 years old. So why would Herod be unsettled? Why would he feel threatened? And he's at what age? Even let's assume that Jesus was supposed to take Herod's place or Herod's throne. I mean, how long would it take? I know Herod was not 10 years, like I said, he was not 15, he was a teenager. So why was he unsettled? That's stupid. He said he sent some men to get where they call wise men. Say, go on, call him, let's bring him here so that we worship. He was stupid. Because he was proud. Satan is proud. Satan is he's proud. Hallelujah. Said all kids, after the man, the men didn't come back. He said all the kids between from 2 years down, they should be killed. That is satanic. That's satanic. Now, one thing to note here is that how would have Herod known about Jesus? Somebody told Herod. And that's the exact way Satan knows. How did Satan know? Satan had it from Herod, his own son. All through the birth process of Jesus, Satan didn't know. Satan didn't know. It just that kind of thing just teaches us one thing, that God is a discreet person. He's good at not revealing things. He's good at being discreet about things. You should be wise about who you tell information. You release information. You don't need to tell anybody about what you're doing. You don't really need to. Now, this is not about some fear. No, it's just wisdom to avoid men whom Satan, who can yield to Satan. You know, sometimes you tell your friend about something, about your plans, your this, and then sometimes they might be in a place to favor that. And because they are yielding to selfishness or pride or something else, they wouldn't help you. Because they are envious. Just be careful. It was because of the information that Judas had about Jesus, about Jesus' whereabouts. So he knew where he would call tell the Pharisees to send soldiers to meet Jesus. He knew that Jesus Christ would be at that point praying then. He already knew Jesus' point of prayers. It's because of the information he had already. Satan needed the information from a man. Else Satan would have not been able to do that. He says, had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. That's another angle. Hallelujah. It just tells us to be a bit discreet about things. you do this, you, oh yes, oh do this, yeah, oh this. Don't be stupid though. No, you don't owe anybody that information. You don't owe anybody that. Just be careful, be discreet about things. Your business in your church is your business in your church. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Today, we do not know many things about Jesus' life. His whatever. You don't know his daily routine. You didn't know. You only know his ministry. When he started ministry, that is all you know about him. You don't know the color of his face. You don't know what he liked, the food he liked. You don't know. Hallelujah. You didn't know his diet. Praise God. It's just something to just put on mind. Those just the necessary things that can be put out. Some people say you are fake if you're not telling people why you really on social media. That's just crazy. That's crazy. That's the world we live in. You're not being fake. You're just being wise. Hallelujah. You don't need to disseminate information to the world. You have a heartbreak and then you're crying or this. Someone will sit down with you, someone, and use that against you some other day tomorrow. Say, ah, it's not you that was doing this. That's condemnation. That's Satan. His diet was bread and fish, loaves and fish, loaves, unleavened loaf and fish. Someone said his diet was bread and fish. Praise God. That's a revelation. You know, that's epignosis. So, you see, just be careful about what the information that you send to people. But you see, Satan would have not known unless he was told. Now, we said where the king of where the word of a king is, there's power. That's Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4. What does that mean? It means that those that are in authority are used by Satan. And those are the people that were used by Satan to crucify Jesus. Just being the government of a state could have stopped redemption. How? 1 Corinthians 2. Had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Who crucified the Lord of glory? Those in authority. So, you see, it just needed to be a governor for you to stop redemption. If you had known, you would have not crucified. They just said, he's the Son of God. Oh, if you do this now, men will be saved. Man will come to know the Father. Men will be translated from light to darkness. Ah, really? If Satan knew this, let's not, we'll just be calm. You just say, I give myself. No, don't give yourself. No. We will give ourselves to you. You don't need to die. That's why Peter said, you will not die. Peter said, you will not die. He said, get thee behind me, who? Satan. If Satan had known, they would have not crucified Jesus. They thought, as far as they were concerned, see, that's the problem with Satan. He was the same person that said, you just not die. Same person that went to crucify Jesus. He's not that wise. But you see, information matters. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. You see, had they known, they would have not. That's the prince of this world. And obviously, they know they are influenced by demons. They would have not crucified the Lord of glory. They would have protected Jesus. How did they kill Jesus? By a word of a king. Where the word of a king is what? Power. That's why Jesus, through his death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That's the book of Hebrews. Now you might say, oh, that means we should start praying for Christians to be in authority. We'll get into that. We do not necessarily have to do that. So once you get into that, you just sharply change your mind. You renew your mind. Get into that much later. You see? But you see, Satan could kill Jesus, but he couldn't stop him from rising from the dead. So it doesn't really matter what Satan does after all. It really matters what Jesus has. Hallelujah. The power of his name. See? Even after his resurrection, Satan tried to lie and say, oh, the disciples took Jesus' body. To where? Who are those? Who were they? Where were they taking his body to? See, they propagated that lie till the Pentecost, 40 days after. And then later on, Peter, makes a lame man walk. And then they are all agitated. What is this? And then Peter said, is it because of our holiness? He says, it's because of the power and name of Jesus Christ. That man that you crucified, he says the same man today that made him to walk. He says he's resurrected. Where is he resurrected? You can see him in me now. You can see him in me right now. Walking his works. Because he's alive. If he were dead, his works would have died. But because he's alive and raised from the dead, we still do his works. Hallelujah. You see that? So Satan can try, but Satan cannot win. That's the fact. He can try. Paul says that God will be magnified in my body, either by death or by life. So Satan is a loser, ultimately. Praise the name of Jesus. That's why Jesus has destroyed him that had the power of death. So even death cannot stop God's plan. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God, because men will yield to the plan of God. Men will yield to the Spirit of God. Men will yield to God's nudge, God's leading. All right? Praise God. So human agencies are always used in this world, and that is why we pray. So as you pray, you are exercising that liberty, that glorious opportunity that you have. It's an opportunity we have, and we do not realize it. We see prayer as a second resort. We don't see it as a first, you know, resort. Prayer is the answer. Prayer is the way to access, to rule on earth, to reign over the world. Prayers. Sometimes you might have to fast. Don't let anybody tell you that fasting, you don't need fasting to get God's attention. That is not even why we pray. We don't even pray to get God's attention. Praise God. Praise God. So it's not about God. We just said God doesn't find fault. So whether you fast, if you like fast, like whatever. Even if you have been sleeping all your life and you just wake up and say, God is there. You just say, Father is there. Jesus said, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. But because of this man, show them your works. I know you already hear me, but show them your works. Then he then said, Lazarus, come forth. So God, Jesus didn't have to bother with the Father. Jesus' voice was raised when he was speaking to a circumstance. So the prayer is not for God, it's not to get God's attention, it's towards the circumstance, exercising man's authority. God cannot do more than a man on earth. God's power can only be permitted. Hallelujah. Even demonic powers are also permitted. God has given the earth and the activities is such that even the heavens dwell on the earth. Praise the name of Jesus. So when we say, oh, whether we like it, God is on the throne, God is working out something. Listen, actually, God will work out something when we permit him to work out something. When we do it out with our prayers, with our hearts, and with our words. You see? That's why, you see, we must be careful with the words we say. Say, when we curse, it is also our authority. If we curse, what we are doing is that we are compelling another spirit of God. Sorry. We are compelling another spirit, not of God. We are compelling a demon to act, or demons to act. Demons can even act more than men. Men are the authoritarians of the activities we permit and allow. Jesus said, "Whatever you bind on earth is bound." We said that word "bind" does not mean to tie someone. We said it means to allow or disallow. Bound on earth is bound in heaven. Hallelujah. I remember, yeah, glory to God. Men are in dominion on earth. Men are in dominion on earth. Men are in what? Dominion on earth. So that's right, sister. So, sister, I believe. I think that's someone I know. But you see, I want to tell us that there's something that happened. I heard of a story. Said someone was giving him problem, guy. Someone was giving him, you know, just being very uneasy, and just creating a lot of difficulty for him in a job and all of that. And then he said, "Oh, because you've not paid me salary for 3 months now, you're telling me I'm too young, I don't need money for anything. Okay, know what? I'll do this." The person went. He's a man of God. Place his hand on some. They were supposed to go somewhere with some bosses. He placed his hand on the three bosses. He said, "You will never move." And those bosses did not move. When they tried to move it, the bosses did not move. Now, it happened, right? It came to pass, as he said, because he understands authority. But you see, he yielded to a demon. Yielded to an evil spirit. Alright? The same way that people die. You pray for someone and the person dies. You have actually permitted demons to go into place because they are subjected to you. I was telling someone just last night. I said, I know how I understand spiritual beings so well, and so should every believer. Every believer ought to understand that. Person was saying, I can't stay outside because I'm scared of demons. That I actually see that there are things only happen here. Person was saying their school, things only happen in their school. Sometimes you see strange occurrences. I'm like, see, if a demon comes here and sits down here, I will place my hand here and keep teaching. I don't need to pay attention to them. They are subject to me. They can't do anything. Everywhere you go, there are witches and wizards, but we don't know. Every day of your life, you see them activities. You see the activities. Don't you watch the news? Oh, maybe especially in Africa, Nigeria. Someone just comes in here, does that, kills someone. Very, very, very inhumane acts. You don't need anyone to tell that demons are present everywhere. So you can see even technology can hinder demons. Even human advancement can hinder demons. Some accidents you see today. Some fights humans can put. So God has given men so much authority. He says he causes the rain to rise on the evil and the good. The sun to rise on the evil and the good. He has placed everything for man to just take authority over it. Whether you are evil or good. Man can also yield to an evil spirit. That's the point I'm making. But evil spirits are not things that you're meant to be like, it's an evil spirit. No. You don't get scared of them. You don't get scared. I would be more afraid of a man than a demon. I cannot be afraid of a demon. Or voodoo. Even if someone say, conjure, you do this. You put something and throw it around your head 3 times. I will not even pray. I won't even speak. I won't even do anything. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to say anything. I remember someone was saying, I was telling a person, you're driving carelessly and all of that. Okay, looking at our time. You know, driving carelessly. Why are you doing this? Why? I was trying to caution the person. And then the person said, why would you say that they will have accidents? And I said, in your next journey, you're going to have an accident. I didn't even say anything. I didn't say anything. Now, because I understand authority, I also now eventually now said, I'm going to always have a peaceful journey. You understand? But it didn't come from a place of fear. Necessarily, because I understand words also and the power of words. His words contain power. There was nothing in what he said. You will know when you understand. You know when there's power. You know when there's no power. Hallelujah. There was nothing there. So, but I just said, everywhere I go in peace. I go safely. You don't need to stress. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You just say with your words. Words are your authority. Your words are your authority. So like some people say, I command you to die. That's a wrong thing to pray. You are yielding to a devil. You say, I have a covenant. God knows the covenant. That man that you think you can give me stress in my job. Bible says, what's that one again? Who if God be for me, who can be against me? God will take you out of that office. God will kill you. God will do this. I have a covenant with the Lord. You cannot have a covenant. Children don't have covenants with their fathers. God is our father. You don't have any such. You just have a covenant with your ignorance. And therefore, Satan will use that ignorance and walk. There's nothing like covenant with God. There is nothing like that. So all this thing of killing and killing and killing. Some people say, you need something to go out of something. Somebody needs to be exited for you to be promoted. Not true. Someone needs to die for you to live. No, not true. They even use Isaiah 6 and the year King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord. He says some things need to die for you to see the Lord. Absolutely stupid. Because even Jesus' resurrection didn't need anybody to die. Hallelujah. He didn't need anybody to die. Even the man that pierced his side, he saw. Oh, glory to Jesus. God is so powerful. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Ha! Amanda Gastovre. Nunva. Halala. Gagenga. Gaganga. Zozo. So somebody is dying. and he does not see any need to kill somebody. And you think the beast is not powerful. And it's because he didn't stop his resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He didn't stop his resurrection. His resurrection. Okay, someone asking a question. I'll get into that right after the end of tonight's teaching, which we're almost done. You know, it didn't stop God's resurrection. It didn't stop his resurrection. God didn't have to kill anybody. Say, I declare every man that is sitting on your destiny, what are you waiting for? Right now, I command you to stumble, to tumble, to somersault, and die by fire. Born of God, with the love of God in your heart, the Holy Ghost has shed forth his love in our hearts. You want him to stumble, you want him to tumble, you want him to somersault, you want him to die, and not just die, also by fire. That is devilish. How can you open your mouth filled with the Holy Ghost and say someone should die? You don't know the power you have. That's why we think that we need people to die for things to happen better. You do not need anybody to die for you to prosper. You do not need, and I'm talking about in terms of the gospel and in all that aspects of your life. You do not need anybody to die. You do not need. Hallelujah. Now you might say, okay, what of Paul? He caused a sort of, should I say, blindness to come upon that someone, that the sorcerer. Didn't Paul yield to an evil spirit? No, he did not. Paul didn't yield to an evil spirit. Why? Because he was a hindrance to the progress of the gospel. And Paul didn't kill him. He caused him to not be able to see. Hallelujah. That's where you can now say, hindering your hinderers. Hallelujah. You can now tag a program. Hindering, not killing your killers or arresting your arresters or crucifying your crucifiers. You know, it's just a joke anyways. But you see, Paul caused a mist to cover his eyes. Not that he caused him to be blind. He didn't harm him physically, right? It was just something to cover his sight for a while so that he can go where he was going to. Just like you can pray for circumstances to distract. I do that a lot. I do that. That's how believers, you must pray. One thing about prayer, like we said, we don't mumble. You pray. That's how, if you are taught how to pray the prayer of supplication, you be specific. You don't just mumble. Sometimes you don't even need to pray in tongues. You pray in tongues and you pray. What am I saying? You pray in tongues and you pray in understanding. You be specific. You specify. Oh, this. Sometimes you have to be intelligent in your prayers. Oh, this will happen like this. Oh, this is going to happen like this. But be careful, because sometimes I've seen someone that prayed and someone forgot their name. I'm like, eh? I'm telling you, someone that I know. But you see, prayers works. Hallelujah. You will not know until you pray well. You will know. Believers should not be people that are defeated people. All right? I'm not saying we are untouchable. I didn't say that. Someone was teaching the other day. He was teaching the other day as we close. He was teaching the other day. I think I'll stop here. He was teaching the other day that how can... He says, look, let me see if I can remember how he said it. He said, I don't pray to God to protect me from accidents. I don't pray to God to protect me from accidents. How can you pray for God to protect you from accidents? See, I used to pray like that, but I stopped praying. And I said, ask me why. He said, how can God be in you and you have accidents? How can you God be in you and God to have accidents? Ah, she's a member. I say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I didn't say we are untouchable. We are very touchable. We are, as Jesus Christ, as disciples of Christ, they were very touchable. Very, very touchable. Praise God. He said, don't pray. Pray, oh. Pray, because you can have Christ. If you can have Christ and you fail an exam in your school, or you fail a job interview, or you so much as even don't know how to cook something and it comes out well, and God dwells inside of you. Hallelujah. Dear, you need to pray. We need to pray. We need to take measures. We need to be wise. Hallelujah. We need to pray. Not is untouchable. Nobody can touch me. How can a believer fall sick? My friend, you can't fall sick. You can. You see that very well in the New Testament, in the Revelation. Epaphroditus, he was sick. He felt very sick. Almost died. Paul said, "God had mercy on me and brought him back." Oh, glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. But you see, we have victory over all of this. So you see, the heart of man, I say this like this, that you see, the heart of man, right, is what? The incubator of prayer. But your words execute the prayers. Your words execute the prayers. We're going to stop here and continue next Friday. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'll answer your questions now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hope you're blessed. Hope that's quite clear. We'll go into more of this and all of that stuff. Yeah, just see you soon.